Well, I thought tonight, in light of sharing God's word with you, that we'll start in the beginning. So where do you think we're going to go to?
Genesis.
Let's do it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Okay? And I trust tonight you'll see a wonderful truth that you can learn about, appreciate, and then from it, have a great trust, a great understanding that will exhilarate your soul, okay? So we're going to start in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. And, of course, many of us have been taught that more than likely with the Hebrew translation and everything, that the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I don't think God would have started out making something that was without form and void. So we have the first heaven and earth, and now something obviously happened at this point in time where the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And I think it's interesting how God uses words with great detail and precision. And it doesn't say God moved upon the face of the waters, but it says the Spirit of God. And I want to talk about the Spirit of God and our spirit life and what it means and how significant it is for us personally. For we know God is spirit, right? John 4:24, God is spirit. And this new life, this new heaven and earth, the Spirit of God had to move on the face of the waters. And then verse 3, let there be light. God spoke into being light to start things off again. And it was the Spirit that did this, the Spirit of life. Let's go to Genesis chapter 7. And I want to build this for you so that you see the connection here with spirit is life. Life is spirit. At the most foundational means. So here in chapter 7, verse 22, it says, and I know I'm jumping in the middle here, but I want to make a point here. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land, died. Now, this breath of life, the Hebrew word here is the Hebrew word for spirit. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. We know in the Greek New Testament, spirit is pneuma, is the Greek word pneuma, right? But here it's the Hebrew word for spirit. And in the American Standard Version and in the New King James Version, it says spirit of life, doesn't it? King James here doesn't say that, but the accuracy here, it's talking about the spirit of life, all right? The breath of life or the spirit of life of all that was on the dry land, what did it do? Died. Okay, so I think you can see the contrast. Spirit is life. They had some problems here. This is where Noah comes into play. All of life dies, right, with the flood and everything. Let's go all the way to the back of your Bible to James, okay? In James 2:26, we're setting a wonderful truth here about spirit is life. And we're going all the way back here to James. Okay. Everybody's there except me. I'll be right with you. So 2:26. James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is what?
Dead.
So faith without works is dead also. You know, this is a contrast figure of speech, contrasting life and death, believing, which without works is dead. In other words, believing, you have to step out. If you believe it, you step out. You work because you step out on it. If you're afraid, you don't believe, then you don't move. But it's contrasted with this idea, and this is what I want to emphasize for you here. The Spirit is life, okay? Without the Spirit, there is death, okay? So Spirit is the foundation to life. And I want you to really see how big this is. And hopefully as you see it and appreciate it and understand it, that you'll recognize the value of the Spirit that you have resident within you as a newborn believer, okay? Now, God originally made man to have what? Spirit. Right in the beginning, God created man in his own image. In his own image, he created him man. And the image of God is spirit. So the first thing man was spirit. Then he threw a little dust in the mix, right, for a body. And then he breathed in for a soul life. And man was body, soul, and spirit, or spirit, body, and soul. Well, we know this wonderful arrangement that God had made for man was just really beautiful. Adam and Eve walked with God, had a great relationship, but they got tricked, didn't they? And they fell. They did the one thing God told them not to do, and they lost the spirit. They lost the life that was so significant for them. And so God went about bringing back the opportunity for man to have spirit again. And he made a promise in Genesis 3:15 about a redeemer that would do the work to bring this spirit back into being. Now, let's go to John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3. And we're just going to work this a little bit more. The Spirit is life. Now, if you remember Monday, some of you were with me Monday night, I shared about God's Word is living. It's alive. It's a living Word. We're familiar with Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick or alive, right? Mm-hmm. Sharper than any two-edged sword. So it's a living Word. This Word of God is alive. It's the God-breathed Word, right? All Scripture is God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16. And so it's a living Word. What God gives us is living. It's alive. It's active. His Spirit is living and alive, okay? So, John 3. And a lesson is going to be learned by a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus, right? Mm-hmm. Verse 1 in chapter 3 of John, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that's pretty bold statement there, to be born again, or born from above is more accurate translation here. To be born of God, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. You got to get born again so that you can see the kingdom of God. Well, what was Nicodemus's response to this? Verse 4, he said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? That would be quite a trick, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty wild. Well, Nicodemus was just trying to figure it out, right? Jesus answered, verse 5, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, referring to the first birth, when the water comes out, and of what?
Spirit.
He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So this new birth, being born from above, is with what? Spirit. That spirit is alive. It's living. It's eternal. That which is born of the flesh, verse 6, is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is?
Spirit.
Wow. Okay. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh or whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Okay? The word wind there is spirit, I think, is the pneuma, the Greek word pneuma. So, you know, the spirit, you can't hear, smell, taste, touch, so forth. So that's a great little illustration there for Nicodemus. The point here is this spirit is alive. It's a living spirit. It's not just a stamp of approval by God that you've got spirit on you. Stamp. No. It's a living entity. It's pretty fantastic. Pretty neat. And I trust we're seeing how significant the Spirit is, especially when we saw it in the beginning when man was first created with Spirit in him. There's a wonderful verse in Job. Can you find Job? It's Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther.
Job, Psalms, Proverbs.
Something like that.
34 Psalms.
Yep. 33, 4. Just looking at another verse here. I jotted it down here. I think this is what the King James says. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Mm. Isn't that a fantastic verse? The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. So this Spirit is all about living, all about life. Now man, today, is only body and soul life until he gets born again of this Spirit of God. And that makes all the difference in the world. To be born again of this wonderful living spirit. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It's neat to see how the word fits and works together. And these great truths are easily unfolded so that we can understand and appreciate them. We really can. We had a nice garage fellowship this morning, and we had a lot of guys were there, and we were getting in this new book by Max Licato, and it's about the gift of Holy Spirit. And so I'm real excited that we're moving into that subject from grace into the gift of Holy Spirit. But some interesting conversation came out in light of what is the Spirit? And the subject of the Trinity came up, and not really being able to understand what these things mean. And, you know, one statement was we're not made to know all the great realities that God has made through the Spirit. And I didn't say anything. I wanted to, but, you know, we can't know everything, but God has given us the ability, and his word can open up a lot of wonderful understanding of what it is to have the Spirit of God in us and what that means. And so we're looking at some of it right now. All right. Where are we at now? Romans? Romans 8, verse 8. It says, so then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. All right. So that old body and soul just doesn't tickle God's fancy. All right. But, verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in what? In the Spirit. Now, boy, Spirit's alive. It's a living. It's God. So be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So, boy, since we have that Spirit, we have a living, the living God in us, all that God is. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So it's pretty plain here for anybody to see that to get born again, to have Christ in you, is to have the Spirit of Christ in you. It is to have his Spirit, God's Spirit, in you. And that's what really counts. Your flesh, I don't care how many hospitals you build, how much you donate, flesh does not please God, but the spirit life in you does. See, our spirit life makes all the difference in the world. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is what?
Life.
It's life because of righteousness. We have God's righteousness within us. That's how big this Spirit is. Verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies. How is he going to do that? By his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So, boy, to appreciate and to know that you've got God's Spirit in you, what a fantastic truth. What a great reality. I mean, how would you like to get your purse out or your wallet and open it up and there's $1 million there? Oh, you'd go nutso, right? Well, spiritually, open up your heart. And here's the Spirit of God. It's Christ in you.
Amen.
Much, much, much better than any money could buy. And so there's a great value in recognizing this living Spirit of God that we have within us. It's a great truth, a great reality. Okay. Ephesians. Oh, my gosh, this verse. Ephesians 2:22. This is the kicker. See? You know, you share God's word and you have wonderful verses that really build something, but then you got your kicker verse. That's the one that just kicks the ball through the uprights, okay? Really sends it home. So,
touchdown.
It's a touchdown. Ephesians 2:22. And it says, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of who?
Of God
through what?
Spirit.
His Spirit. There it is. Wow. We are built to inhabit what? The Spirit of God. Isn't that fantastic? That God would allow us to have his living Spirit within us. It's no wonder Jesus got real excited about when he knew his time was coming up and he was talking about the Comforter was going to come and all the greatness of what that will mean for them. My goodness, you know, and he paid the price. God raised him from the dead. He's in his resurrected body. He's working with his disciples, talking about the Spirit that's going to come. Because you're going to receive power after that. The Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you're going to be witnesses for me. So it's just a great living reality, this Spirit of God that resides in us. It's the habitation of God through the Spirit. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying what?
Abba,
Father. Daddy, Daddy. Wow. I mean, I trust you're seeing how big and how vital this Spirit is that we have. That it's the Spirit of God that He gives us. And it represents His Son in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's just a fantastic truth. And I'm going to share some more verses with you. There's some just great stuff here that we could look at for, you know, many, many verses. But I want to share just a few more with you. Hebrews 4, please. Hebrews 4. Let's take a look at that. Hebrews, James. So Hebrews 4. Let's see. That is not what I was looking for. There's that wonderful verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Yeah, I'm looking for the verse that talks about, and I evidently got the wrong verse reference, the eternal life Spirit, that we purge our conscience so we can serve the living God, and it's because of the eternal Spirit that we have in us. So that'll be fun for someone to find that at some point, okay? 1 Corinthians 2:12 talks about you haven't received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God. You know, the world's got enough junk that it's filled us with, but we're filled with the Spirit of God. That makes all the difference in the world. We're loaded with great, great power, right? And those guys on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues. They went out holding forth the words of life. They were doing signs, wonders, and miracles. They were healing everybody. It was just fantastic. The power of the Spirit that they utilized in their lives. And we can utilize them too. We too can do that. Let's go to Acts 4:33. I think we'll
Hebrews.
Close. Where's the Hebrews reference?
9:14.
My 4 looks like a 4, not a 9. Yeah, 9:14. Thanks, Jeannie. Acts 4:33. Yeah, this is really, really wonderful. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So, we have resident within this wonderful, living, eternal gift of Holy Spirit. It's God in Christ in us. And I think that's kind of a neat way of putting it all together. You know, that God would give all that He is. He is Holy Spirit. He gives the gift of Holy Spirit. He puts it in His Son and His Son in us. And it's a great life, a great godly life that we can live. So we should have great trust in our times. In spite of what's going on in this world, We can always look to our Father. He certainly encouraged us in the manifestations to do that, didn't he? So we just want to do that, knowing what we have resident within. We have the habitation of God in us because of the Spirit of God we have. So, Father, thank you for the privilege it is to be born again of your Spirit, to have that life that only you can provide. And I'm thankful that we can walk in the greatness of it. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.